There you go.
Perfect.
Signing off.
All right. I guess it'll work. We'll figure that out, repertoire, at some point.
This episode of Bourbon Pursuit is made possible through listeners like you, supported through Patreon, and with partnerships brought to you by the following.
Life insurance used to be a pain. Now with Ethos, the application only takes 10 minutes online. Go check it out, pursuit.getethos.com. That's pursuit.getethos.com.
Fred Minnick here with an important announcement. Join me September 21st at the Art of Bourbon, a rare bourbon auction benefiting Louisville Speed Art Museum. I'm the curator, and get this, I've tracked down the 10th bottle of Pappy. Learn more at speedmuseum.org. That's speedmuseum.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Bourbon Pursuit. And if this is your first time joining us, maybe you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. But if you didn't know, we're also a video podcast. So you can head over to youtube.com/bourbonpursuit, facebook.com/bourbonpursuit, and you can watch the video if you want to know exactly what we look like, who we're talking to, what they look like. Maybe you just want to be bored during the middle of the day at work and you want to kill your company's bandwidth and sit there and stream video. You can go ahead and you can do that. So make sure you subscribe on those channels as well. Now, today's episode might seem like one huge advertisement for Bourbon Beyond. And that's because it pretty much is. And I say that because when I was there last year, I got this sense of feeling that we had to do something. We had to be there this year because it was such an immense appreciation for bourbon and bringing together new types of people to go and experience the education, that seminars and everything that goes, that has to go on. You know, I talk about it in this episode too, of just sitting there and thinking to myself, like, we've got to be a part of this. We've got to figure out how Bourbon Pursuit can be a part of this. And I can just guarantee you that you've never seen a bourbon festival bigger than this. And it's, in my opinion, it is. It's breaking new grounds. It's really what it means to be on the fringe of what is to be a bourbon enthusiast, and also caters to the other people that just enjoy it casually, or maybe they're just now learning about it, or maybe just now learning about a podcast. But the coolest thing is that not only are we going to be there because we've got some sessions that we're going to be running, but you have a chance to go now as well, because Bourbon Pursuit is having a giveaway for not only just two general admission tickets, or just giving away a pair, but we're the only team that has been given the exclusive opportunity to give a weekend Mint VIP package experience. That means this is a Mint VIP entrance. These are $500 tickets, so it's a $1,000 package. You get access to air conditionings, you get air conditioned space, you have access to another bar, VIP viewing areas. It's really quite an experience. So this contest is now live on facebook.com/bourbonpursuit. Go ahead, find the post, and you can go ahead and get yourself entered to win the Mint VIP package or the GA giveaway. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to do that. And that's going to end on August 31st. So you've got two more weeks to get in there, and we're going to do it. We're going to roll it. And hopefully you can come and you can see us on stage at the Bourbon seminars, the Bourbon Plus seminars. And you can go and you can watch people like Lenny Kravitz and John Mayer and Sheryl Crow and Robert Plant. And it's funny, I get to talk about all these people and us in the same exact sentence. You don't really think of being able to do that, but it's pretty awesome. And now onto some other news. If you remember back on episode 72, we had Jay and Hannah from New Rift Distilling on the podcast. And they were talking about how they were starting to create their own distillate, but they were selling some of their sourced MGP products that were in their OKI brand. But it started to make new waves this past week as New Rift has now launched their four-year-old bottle and bond bourbon that you can get in their gift shop and other surrounding areas. So look out for that as it starts making its way out. And other news for the podcast is that we're still rolling strong with barrel picks. We've got a few more in the books, and I'm ready to announce them right now. So we've got our Maker's Mark 46 blend that we're going to be doing here at the end of the month. That's going to happen. We've got a Four Roses barrel selection. We've got a Knob Creek bourbon and a Knob Creek rye. We're doing a new barrel every single month, pretty much till the end of the year. So big shout out to Keg and Bottle out of the San Diego area. Make sure you go and you check out their website, Keg and Bottle, K-E-G, the letter N, bottle.com. And you can shop their online selection of almost over 700 plus different whiskeys and get them shipped right to your door. And if you want all the show notes with links and everything hitting your inbox, make sure you go to bourbonpursuit.com, sign up for our email list, and those will come to your inbox every time, every Thursday morning around 7 a.m. Eastern time, and you can go ahead and you can get your Bourbon Pursuit fix for the week. And of course, if you love social media, make sure you follow us there. We just surpassed 10,000. I think we're at almost 10,500 Instagram followers. It's amazing that people just love to scroll and click like buttons on pictures of whiskey, but I find myself catching it nowadays too. So make sure you're following us there on Instagram to see what we're doing on Friday, Saturday, and perhaps Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, and Tuesday nights. But also make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Bourbon Pursuit. And lastly, Patreon is where we help grow the show and you can be a part of it. All those barrel picks I talked about at the beginning here, you actually have the opportunity to join us on those barrel picks if you support the show at $10 or more per month. And the only way you can get a bottle is if you actually support it through Patreon as well. So go check it out, patreon.com/bourbonpursuit. We've got all kinds of cool stuff there, t-shirts, bottle totes, koozies, and of course, bottles and bottles and bottles of bourbon. So with that, enjoy this week's episode. And here's Fred Minnick with Above the Char.
I'm Fred Minnick, and this is Above the Char. As I walked through popular downtown Denver through herbal smoke clouds and droves of skinny man buns, I saw a familiar word that wasn't as popular here 10 years ago. Back then, cheesy beer billboards touted piss in a tin can. Today, those posters and billboards are gone. They've been replaced in bar windows, liquor stores, and street signage with the word whiskey. I saw this block after block with street advertising, including posters for Stranahan's, Woody Creek, and Distillery 291. It struck me as odd that I didn't see a single billboard for Jack Daniel's, Crown Royal, Jim Beam, or one of the other major whiskey brands. And it got me to thinking, was Denver rejecting big whiskey? From what I could tell, the answer was yes. I found a bar called Society Sports and Spirits. A black whiskey sign towered over its door, and only one Kentucky bourbon was served there, Kentucky Gentleman. By the way, that's one of the most rot-gut bourbons you'll find, but Society Sports and Spirits was calling itself a bona fide Colorado whiskey bar, beaming with state pride and offering mostly Colorado whiskey. You'll find 80 Laws, Old Elk, Tin Cup, State 38, 291, Stewards, and many others. But what they don't say on their menu, or perhaps the bartenders just don't know, is that many of these Colorado whiskey brands are not in fact distilled in Colorado. Tin Cup, for example, is a blend of mostly Indiana bourbon and a Colorado straight malt. There's nothing wrong with that, and Tin Cup does not hide this fact, but it's not a Colorado whiskey. It's an American whiskey blend. When I left Society Sports and Spirits, I wondered if we may see a new form of source whiskey deception, using taverns with state pride spreading false heritage. If that does happen, I'm sure the internet police will shut it down fairly quickly. But I do know one thing is for sure. As more states come online with distilling prowess, we will see bars align themselves with their state's whiskey, attempting to shut out Kentucky. I can see it now coming to a town near you, Texas bourbon bars, Georgia whiskey houses, and Oregon single malt restaurants. Hey, I'm all for innovation and gambling on yourselves and your states. But an Oklahoma moonshine bar just doesn't pull on the heartstrings like good old-fashioned Kentucky bourbon. And that's this week's Above the Char. Did you know I'm starting a bourbon magazine? Check it out, bourbonplus.com. That's bourbonplus.com. If you have an idea for Above the Char, hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Fred Minnick. That's at Fred Minnick. Until next week, cheers.
Welcome back to another episode of Bourbon Pursuit, the official podcast of bourbon. Kenny, Ryan, and now Fred.
Woo-hoo!
Right?
I thought it was Kenny and Fred now.
Kenny, we voted. We let you back on the island.
So. Yeah, I was on the chopping block.
It's not true.
Yeah.
It's not true.
When the announcement went, I got like 10 texts from family and friends. What the hell? Like, didn't know you were getting kicked off.
When the announcement that I came on, they were saying that they were afraid that you got kicked off.
Yeah. They're like, I guess because the way Kenny worded it said the new co-host. So like everybody's like, well, oh,
the funny thing is he actually approached me prior to it. And, yeah. he said, he's like, hey, the long-term plan here is actually to kick Ryan off.
Hey. As long as my share is still on the bottom, yeah. I don't give a shit.
It's in the contract that, you know, you're
I pretty much only show up to the episodes I want to anyway, so well, I'm totally cool if you...
That's how you become a silent partner, right?
That's
how
right.
It works. You're actually,
he's not very silent. I mean, listen to him. Come on now.
I like to give my 2 cents.
Well, so this is great because this is the first episode where you're actually able to join us, be in person, actual co-host. Yeah. But you're
flirting for a while.
Yeah, I know. But he's technically also a guest this time too, right?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, kinda. You know how I play it.
But I don't know. But maybe we're also guests, right? Because this is all talking about bourbon and beyond, right?
Maybe I'm the guest now.
Maybe, you know, yeah. There you go.
That is true. We were going to break it to you lightly.
Yeah, cool.
Maybe actually, we're going to cue the John Mayer right now.
Ooh, I like it. Body is Wonderland.
Probably a bad pick for me. For him. You go straight to the Body is a Wonderland.
All
right,
that's his jam. That's we ride over here, and
I was thinking Gravity.
Your ascot's got me all excited.
Okay, so Kenny,
all right, moving on.
Yeah,
sorry.
Here we go. None of this lively banter, right? So just quickly, as we all know, we've got Kenny and Ryan, of course, Fred Minnick now, the newest co-host to join this is the Bourbon Pursuit team. And today we're all focused on Bourbon and Beyond. It's a festival that it was funny when I attended it last year. I went there and I was amazed, absolutely just floored at being able to go and look at really where bourbon became a showcase for this, right? Where it really wasn't like an afterthought, where it's like, okay, cool, we're gonna have a music festival and then we'll have some little bourbon thing over to the side in some corner, right? But no, I mean, this was like a thing where bourbon was truly showcased, and it's really getting it out of the mindset that you don't have to have bourbon always at some hotel expo center. You don't have to have a bunch of tents sitting around or a bunch of tables sitting around for everybody, and you can go sample each one of them, and then that's how you kind of like get your expo experience, right? I mean, this was something that was relatively new, a relatively new concept of being able to do this, and that's when I sent a message to Ryan and a few other people, and I said, we've got to be a part of this next year. Like, we've got to figure out how we can, you know, really come in and make a splash and just be a part of this, because I had never seen so many people come and just be enthusiastic about it and want to drink bourbon. And this was, by the way, this was an oddly hot September day when this happened last year, right? Mm-hmm. And people were still, they were sitting there and trying bourbon and trying it, and then you'd walk away and you go check out the next concert, right? So, I kind of want to hand it a little, unless you have anything else to add on to that, Ryan.
You pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, okay.
Did he let you talk, or do you?
Is he ever going to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Or just keep going? No, he nailed it.
So. Yeah. So before we kind of get into a lot of the stuff about this year, you know, Fred, I kind of want to rewind it back a year ago to the inaugural and kind of talk about what it was of the idea of building it, building up to it, and how that planning process sort of went.
Well, first of all, you know, for those who haven't attended, to be fair, if you're coming, a lot of people are coming for the music. You know, the music acts were Eddie Vedder last year, Stevie Nicks, Steve Miller Band, and a bunch of other, like Gary Clark Jr. I love Gary Clark Jr. He's amazing. You know, a lot of those really high-level Grammy Award-winning, you know, great bands. A lot of people are... You know, it attracted 50,000 people last year, and I would say the majority, the whole point of the festival is to attract the fringe consumer, to get people who are not necessarily into bourbon. And you do that through, like, the loves that people have. So, in this case, it's music. And what was amazing was, you know, that was the That was the concept. That was like what the intention was. And what, you know, what we found was there was actually a lot of bourbon fans who came. And there was also a lot of people who had never had bourbon. There was a lot of people who were fringe consumers. And then they were just dead on hooked, long-term bourbon fans. And so the initial planning, it actually goes back to when Danny Wimmer was wanting to start a bourbon. So he wanted to start a bourbon. He came to this city taking meetings, and he went through, and he had a glass, and he was ready to start sourcing. And
oh, so he really wanted to create a brand. Yeah, like, that was his idea.
He started it out wanting to create a brand, and that was his goal, was because he wanted to serve it at his festivals, and because he served more whiskey at his festivals than any other festival promoter. I mean, he's a whiskey guy. And he gets here, and he's like, I don't want to start a whiskey. I want to do a festival. And that started out with Louder Than Life. Louder Than Life's a heavy rock concert, and it had a lot of those components that you saw at Bourbon and Beyond, like with a big giant bar. I do believe that is the largest, the longest bourbon-only bar in the world. Definitely from a festival perspective, but I, you know, it's hard to prove, but it's a very long bar.
You need a tape measure to prove it, then, right?
You need a tape measure.
There's some easy tools for that.
Well, it's like anybody can claim anything, right? But I'm one of those people that I like to actually have facts. Like, I want to, like, someone else says they have the longest bourbon bar, but like, I want to go
prove it.
Go prove it. So I don't like just saying things.
Beat you by a foot this year,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But there's that's common in the bar business, as you know. And so Louder Than Life starts out. It has, you know, Kid Rock. They'd eventually get headliners like Ozzy Osbourne and, you know, Rob Zombie. And so that was their style of music. And last year, they started working with the mayor's office and everything to develop what would be Bourbon and Beyond. They wanted to do a bourbon festival. And it was they brought me in. They started recruiting me probably in 2014 and kind of brought me into the fold in early last year, like January 2017. And I helped found the Bourbon and Beyond. And the whole premise of it is to have great food, because we have celebrity chefs. Like last year we had Carla Hall and Tom Colicchio. This year we have Aaron Sanchez and Tom Colicchio and Jose Garcia. We have a lot of great chefs. And then you have the bourbon side, and then this year on the music side we have John Mayer, Lenny Kravitz, Sting, Robert Plant. A lot of great bands. And my whole vision is that someone gets the perfect bite of food and the perfect taste of bourbon while they're listening to like their favorite song. And that's kind of like it's about experiencing everything at once. And that's really what this festival is all about for a bourbon lover.
Whose idea was it to really bring in the culinary aspect, right? Because when I go to other kind of festivals, it's like, all right, let's get some dirty hot dog water and, you know, some bottles of water, and we'll get back out there, right? I think it brings something new.
Some nachos, popcorn.
Yeah, there you go.
Get back to drinking.
I would say that's this company's entire model, is that they like to elevate experience, and that's part of it. They like elevating the food side. Like the best pizza I've ever had in Louisville was at Bourbon and Beyond with their pizza vendor, the spicy pie. And I have been craving that pizza for a year, so I can't wait for it to taste it again here soon. But that's what they do. They elevate every aspect of the festival side. And it's costly, you know. This festival's $8 million to produce, you know, so it's not like, you know, they're renting the Marriott and, you know, putting up a small stage and getting, you know, the really good guys at karaoke and then having the bourbon brands like pour some bourbon. And not only that, I mean, it's like bourbon is the headliner. When we announce things, it's very important to us that bourbon is always first, because we're trying to put a spotlight on bourbon in the way rock stars are normally treated. And we always talk about bourbon distillers being rock stars, but here we're actually treating them like rock stars ahead of rock stars. So they get their own, like, their own poster, you know, their own rock poster. They get announced in the same breath as, you know, Sting. And, you know, no one else is doing that.
Yeah, I think it's very unique in being able to do that, because we've talked about master distillers and all these people in the bourbon industry technically being rock stars for a while, right? But now they really are. As you said, in the same breath, they're really starting to kind of fall back into that fold, right? So I think it's pretty interesting to be able to do that.
Well, I started noticing this. I mean, this is something that they've anecdotally talked about for a long time. But I started noticing a difference about, you know, 6 years ago when I'd walk into an airport and somebody recognized me. And then I'd talk to Julian Van Winkle and Fred Noe, and they're like, yeah, I can't even go to Costco anymore. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, that's crazy. And then you get further out. And you're like,
Costco's big, right?
Costco, yeah, Costco's big. Then you get to Germany, and, you know, they have people who recognize them there. I was like, this is, you know, you start seeing this kind of like bourbon weaving itself into the fabric of pop culture. And when then they bring in the celebrities, you start seeing bourbon more integrated into the television. And that elevates everybody. Yeah, as much as we make fun of the Mila Kunises and the Matthew McConaughey's being on TV, that really is good for everybody associated with bourbon, because it elevates it. It puts it in that kind of cool zone. And, you know, there was a time that you wouldn't dare be seen with bourbon if you were in Hollywood. You know, you were drinking something cool like vodka for them.
Yeah, sky-flavored vodka.
Mm. Yeah. And so bourbon has been elevated in a lot of ways. And this festival is really about trying to remove some of that stigma of Kentucky, you know, that we're toothless and Hicks playing and banjos on the front porch, and not that there's anything wrong with that.
I love banjo music, so
I love banjo music, yeah. But the toothless guy that everyone thinks of wearing, you know, the hillbilly, you know, that keeps people from coming to Kentucky. And even now, what you see is there are people who are like, why do you love Kentucky so much? You know, they don't get it. They have to come here and experience it. And, you know, the belief is that this festival will help change the minds of a lot of people, of not only bourbon, but all of Kentucky.
So what did you see, like, out of your attendees last year? Like, how many were from Kentucky and how many were coming outside?
But yeah, I can't remember the data on the top of my head, but I think someone was like 60 to 70% were from outside.
Really?
Of Kentucky. Definitely Louisville. You know, so the majority was outside of Louisville. And there was a lot of out of states. A lot of the states you would imagine, like Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. But there was also a lot from other countries. And if you think about it, if you're a fan of a musician, and you know you're like, this year we're going to go see Sting. No matter where you live, you're going to look at his tour schedule, and you're gonna say, all right, what do I want to kind of create a vacation around? Like, oh, he's going to be in Louisville, Kentucky, September 22nd. Let's do a whole vacation around this. Yeah, you know, I like bourbon. I don't know much about it. So let's go down there and let's kind of build this whole trip around bourbon. That's what people are doing. They're following their favorite musicians, and they're coming down here and they're creating
their own experiences. Next thing you know, they're doing a distillery tour.
Yeah.
And then they're sitting on a seminar. And
then they're subscribed to the podcast.
Then they subscribe to the podcast. And, well, and they're spending serious coin on bourbon.
Yeah, and my hope is that, you know, we'll be able to reach a lot of these people because they are coming in. You know, the Bourbon Pursuit podcast logo is going to be everywhere. So, I mean, that's good.
We order the biggest stickers possible.
Yeah. I mean, maybe get
we're going to wear flags.
You know, get a wrap around one of the trucks and then just park it right there at that gas station.
We'll take that out of your share.
Yeah, let's do that. let's hire a street artist to, like, spray paint something, right? We'll do that, right?
Hey, listen, guerrilla marketing is where it's at.
We'll do a skylight, you know, like a Batman signal.
Yeah.
With the barber suit there. I like it.
But you made a really good point, right? I mean, I know I've looked at different artists, and you look at their tour schedule and you're like, okay, well, where in the country do I want to go? And sometimes you're like, oh, like San Diego, that looks pretty cool, or somewhere in Florida, or, you know, like Red Rocks,
Noblesville,
or Noblesville, Indiana, right? But then you see something in Louisville and you see it's at like this Bourbon Beyond Festival, right? And it's just not just another festival, right? And I think that's kind of what does make it that more of an attractor, is that it's not just a festival where, yeah, sure, there's a lot of great bands. You could go do that at a lot of different cities, but we're bringing another element into it where you get more the experience out of it of, because let's be honest, like you want to be there during the headliners and see the head shows. Yeah. But during the day, like it's cool to be able to walk around and do something where you're just not stuck. Maybe like
listening to
having to go to some stage that you're like, well, I don't really know this person. I'll go so listen to it. But you can go and get educated in something else if you really want to.
Yeah, that's why we have seminars. And you know, we have a couple dozen seminars on different types of, you know, the different things going on in bourbon. And I like to do things. I'm in a trend of myself right now, trying to tap into people's like either controversial side or into like their touchy feely side. So I've got a whole series about, you know, the family, and we have the Van Winkles and the Coles Fiends on stage together. We're talking about what it's like to grow up in bourbon and, you know, through the struggles and everything. And then we have the Russells on stage, Jimmy, Eddie, and Bruce. You know, so, you know, grandpa, son, you know, grandson. And we also have some geeky stuff like the art of fermentation. But I think the headliner of this year's seminars is most definitely Jack and Jim, What's the Difference? And that's something I've been working on for a very long time, getting the master distiller of Jack Daniels, Jeff Arnett, on stage with the master distiller of Jim Beam, Fred Noe. Now, if it's a cussing contest, we know Fred Noe is going to win.
Fred's going to get that one.
But we're expecting a very gentlemanly discussion.
Well, that would be good for, like you said, the fringe consumer, too, because that's two names they are very well aware of. And, you know, they probably don't know what the hell's the difference between them. Yeah, I don't even think I do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know if they do sometimes.
We did a podcast all on it. We're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Like, is Jack Daniel's bourbon? It comes up all the time. I did an interview last night on a sports talk show, and it came up there too. It was like Jack Daniel's bourbon. I was like, oh, here we go again. And I gave my spiel, and I mentioned NAFTA, and then I mentioned the state law and everything. It's a good thing that people ask, because it means they're interested.
Mm-hmm.
It's better them to ask than to not even be concerned.
Yeah. So there's stuff there too for like, you know, that's for like the fringe consumer, but you have stuff for whiskey geeks also too, like real in-depth kind of nerdy topics as well.
Yeah.
What are some of those?
So some of those will be like
I'm looking at some things brains. Like value bourbon, right? Yep. That's one. Mm-hmm. We don't need no stinking master distiller, yeah. Right? That's coming from our friend Blake over at bourboner.com, right?
Actually, so. that concept was presented to me from Kaveh from Rabbit Hole. You know, he's got this whole thing about a team approach. He's like, I'd like to do this seminar. And one of my things this year was like, I didn't want to moderate everything. I can't moderate everything. I've got a kid due like the next day, so I have to, in case I have to run out for an emergency, I tried to break things up a little bit and have some new moderators come in.
We appreciate getting your scraps. Yeah.
Well, exactly. It is not that I selected you for a reason.
Yeah.
A lot of people wanted that.
Yeah.
A lot of people wanted those spots. And what do you think? You think Blake will do a good job on that?
Oh, yeah.
I think he'll do great.
Yeah. He'll do well.
All right.
But like you said, with coffee, I mean, the master distiller thing, I mean, most of the people don't know that it's not it is a team of people really selecting and picking. So I think it'd be good for people to understand that, you know, it's just not Jimmy Russell or Drew Colesveen doing it all. You know, it's like,
and we have on that panel, we have Jim Rutledge, you know, who's been kind of who's fallen out of the.
Yeah. We haven't heard from him in a while.
Mm-hmm. And he's somebody that I feel like draws the geeks, but the normal folks don't necessarily know who he is.
Right. So there's going to be something there for everybody. And, you know, we can't not talk about our sessions as well, right? I think we got to plug those. So if you are going to be there, you got to make sure you check out. So I'm going to have a session. Ryan's going to have a session. We've got one called The Audacity of Source Whiskey, where it's going to be looking at, you know, basically a lot of people that are NDPs, right? You start up, you want to build a company. And you usually at the source, right?
Yeah,
that's just sort of the nature of what it is.
Yeah, it's perfect timing for us. We know a little bit about it. So.
We're getting under this.
Maybe we'll learn some more.
Now, there's going to be – I did that seminar at Tales of the Cocktail, so I'll be watching closely. So don't screw that up.
Yeah, don't screw that
that's
one
mine.
Up.
Now I'm feeling the pressure. I'll have to have you prep me the night before.
But then there's another one that we'll be looking at, talking about the rarest whiskey in the world, right? And this is going to be sort of – a hybrid look at at private picks, at some of the old Willett picks that have been happening over the years as well. So there's going to be a good conversation about things that you can find rare whiskey every single day, but it doesn't have to be something that's been aged 30 years down in a cellar that was forgotten about, that there was only 20 bottles in existence, right? Like there's something that you'll be able to find something that's pretty regularly on that cadence, right?
Yeah, there'll be a touch of vintage in that too. That one's been modified a bit, but that one will have a little bit of some vintage stuff of like a little bit of hunting as well.
Oh yeah, because cool. we got some hunters in that one. You know, there's Larry Rice, a Silver Dollar, that's going to be in there, who's been a previous guest on the show, and he talked about his epic score of traveling around. I think it was in Kansas City or outside, and being able to find a bunch of old dusties and stuff like that. So
and a ton of the Kuiper liqueurs in the meantime.
Yeah, something like that, right? So a lot of good sessions that are going to be coming with regards to that. So what are you looking most forward to in regards of
John Mayer?
Of yeah, this festival in general?
Music or just in general?
I guess let's take both.
This episode of Bourbon Pursuit is made possible through listeners like you, supported through Patreon, and with partnerships brought to you by the following.
I'm like many of you. I've got a family outside of this hobby we call bourbon. They always come first, so naturally, I continually have to think about what I have to do to provide for them. Bills, the home, college tuition, and just a lifestyle that keeps us happy. However, there's always the unexpected if something does happen to me, so I have to make sure all those things are still possible for my family. Life insurance, it really used to be a pain because I'd be on the phone for hours, or I had to deal with an agent that was like a used car salesman. And don't even get me started on lab work when I had to go to doctor's offices. Fortunately, there's Ethos. Ethos has honest and upfront pricing with an online application that only takes 10 minutes to complete. And the best part? No doctor's office appointment is even necessary for policies under $1 million. So it's worth your time to go check it out. Get a free quote at pursuit.getethos.com. So in 10 minutes, you're going to have that peace of mind that you've been waiting for. That's pursuit.getethos.com.
The world's biggest bourbon, music, and food festival is back. Bourbon and Beyond 2018 with Sting, John Mayer, Robert Plant, and the sensational spaceship, Lenny Kravitz, Counting Crows, David Byrne, Sheryl Crow, Brian Setzer, Kaleo, Government Mule, Kev Moe, and so much more. Bourbon and Beyond is back. The celebration of the spirit and soul of Kentucky, September 22nd and 23rd at Champions Park. The world's top bourbons, paired with celebrity chefs, Louisville's top restaurants, and iconic musicians. With Sting, John Mayer, Robert Plant, and the sensational Spaceshifters, Lenny Kravitz, and Beyond. For all the details, go to bourbonandbeyond.com. Bourbon and Beyond 2018, September 22nd and 23rd at Champions Park.
So what are you looking most forward to in regards of
John Mayer?
This festival in general?
Music or just in general?
I guess let's take both.
So in music, I'm a big Kaleo fan. Like, I'm a huge, huge fan of theirs. I also grew up with Counting Crows. And I think I'm on stage at the same time as Counting Crows, so I might have to miss them. But
I thought you were a co-founder. Can't you
move the schedule?
You can just bump somebody down, right?
Well, when you're on stage a lot, it happens. And then when I'm not on stage, I do tastings, like, backstage and stuff. So I have a pretty meaty schedule, so I may give you guys a couple more.
we can handle that. I think
your errand boys.
Yeah, there you go. Like I said, he's just throwing more scraps to us. We'll take it. We'll pick it up. We'll run with it.
Actually,
right?
I cleared my whole weekend.
Last year, Kenny, I remember you came up to me and you said, "Whatever scraps you don't want, we'll take it." Those were your exact words.
He took it to heart.
See, and I was there.
Wiki gets the grease.
Yeah, right. But I was there last year, and I was just like, man. And that's what I sent a message to Blake and to other people, and I was just like, how do we get a part of this? You know, Brian Haar from Sippin' Corns be there leading a session as well. And I just said, like, you've got to see this. Like, you've got to see it to believe it.
I want you to know, too, that I pick people that I feel like, you know, represent the kind of, like, whiskey media I think we should be, you know, pursuing. And you can remember when I started 12 years ago, it was really Chuck, and that was it. And there was the magazines. The magazines, they've always been kind of what they are. But I like people who ask hard questions, and I like people who really press an issue. And that's why I kind of, you know, I went with you guys, with Whiskey Cast, Blake, Brian. I brought in some people that I thought would be good fits too, and that's, so this is my way of kind of like, I don't know, I guess giving back and trying to help people in some ways. Like, I mean, no one ever did that for me, so it, other than like giving me a chance, and so I think that's all we ever need is like a chance. And if we're gonna grow this category, if we're gonna grow it into like, you know, I mean, I have a big belief in bourbon. And I think it's going to do great things. You know, I'm launching a magazine. I'm joining a podcast. I've got other stuff I'm doing. I'm trying to help press the envelope of what media is in this space. So, and live entertainment is a big part of that.
Absolutely. And so that's one of the things what when I kind of look at the way this is growing and the way it's moving. And I remember that conversation we kind of had last year on saying, I'll take your scraps, is because, I mean, yeah, you were running around everywhere. You're back and forth. You were pretty much moderating almost every single one of the panels.
I moderated everything.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
You probably rave her to be over.
And I was, yeah, it was just kind of like, I was like, oh man, he's going to kill himself if he keeps going at this rate. Right. So it's like, yeah, you've got to be able to delegate and be able to find those right people to try to bring it to the next level, because I think at the same time you're going to find a lot more enjoyment out of this too, of being able to enjoy the show, enjoy the festival too, of being able to kind of walk around as well.
You know, I think there's that. I'm going to have, again, like, we're due September 26th, and we're
couldn't plan that better.
Yeah,
yeah. When we were at the doctor,
you're like, just stay in your bed all week and don't even attempt to move.
She's got to come. Yeah. She has to come. I'm getting her a golf cart. And when we were at the doctor and they set our due date, my whole everything is just like. And so naturally, I'm launching my magazine, Bourbon Plus, that same weekend. So I must, you
There's
know,
a lot what, going on the minute.
Whatever slack I took away by giving the moderating duties to other people, I definitely got that taken up doing other shit.
Oh yeah, well that's part of what it is. So one of the things that I also want to talk about that is always a staple at the festival, you know, you'd mentioned already. The massive bar, right? Going there last year. I mean, the big bourbon bar was it is. It's big.
It's the biggest one in the world.
I mean,
it's the biggest bourbon bar in the world.
But let's try to describe it a little bit more, right? Because if
official bourbon podcast.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So I want to try to describe it just a little bit more, because I remember being there, and I don't think it was in alphabetical order, but I mean, it was like you had literally everybody had like 1792, Abraham Bowman, blah, 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 blah. You just keep going down the line, mm-hmm. and there was like 30 or 40 different vendors there, right? And
yeah,
it was pretty intense.
That we trimmed that down a little bit. Like the size is the same, but there's a little bit more room in between them. And, you know, we actually, you know, didn't fill... We turn people away in that spot. So we've got people out in different spots in the festival. We got a little thing we call like a lemonade stand that you can go and get something and one. You know, it's like if you want a slushie or something, that's like where you'll find like a slushie.
Mm-hmm.
Like a bourbon slushie.
I love slushies, by the way.
I used to hate them, and someone gave me the right slushie, and it changed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
There's nothing better.
This is good. But so you walk in this big bourbon bar, and you see this massive amount of wood. It's the bar, and you see these names up on the backdrop, and you see the cocktails. You can get a cocktail and get it neat. And then the area is just completely packed. And in the middle, you've got the Bluegrass situation, which is the Sirius XM station. You've got their Bluegrass, you know, stage. And I got to tell you, I saw the best band I saw last year was in the Bluegrass. It was in the Bluegrass side. And that's saying something.
The Golden Banjos, you know.
Because Stevie Nicks, man, she made me cry last year. She was just...
But it doesn't take much to make you cry,
no,
right?
No, no.
You're a softie.
Somebody stepped on an ant over there. But, yeah, you're looking at a really impressive space with a lot of cocktailing. And I think this year we have 24 along that line.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's going to give me a little bit more room for them.
Well, the other cool thing I remember about the big bar was that it was always packed. I mean, let's also say, like, it was hot, right? And it was shaded, right? Which is also really cool, right? It was a shaded area, but there were picnic tables, like everybody was hanging out, and you could sit there and you could watch the bluegrass band. You could go, and with that many different vendors, there was never really a huge line to wait for anything that you wanted to go try. So I think that was also something that was pretty cool in that aspect.
Yeah, it's funny because you're right. There was not except for Rabbit Hole. Rabbit Hole had a constant line. Because they brought in the bartenders from Death & Company, which is arguably the best bar in the world.
Where is that at?
It's in New York.
Okay.
Yeah. These guys are like the high-level consultants. They have the best-selling all-time cocktail book, and they're brilliant. And they made this cocktail, and they didn't advertise it. They were part of it. It's just like that people taste like, oh my God, it's so good.
You gotta try that.
And they kept getting back in line and getting it. So Rabbit Hole, in my opinion, like just they like for a little brand like they were, they use Bourbon and Beyond and just leap forward.
They embraced it the most.
I won't say they embraced it the most, but I think that they strategically did everything they could to get the most they could out of it. And they absolutely... It absolutely helped their efforts.
Well, good. The other thing I want to bring up because about the big bourbon bar that I always noticed there was Fred's Mini Bar.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Like, what? Because I remember seeing it.
Now that you mentioned that, I was trying to figure out, like, why is it? Why did the bourbon bar? We pulled the mini bar out. The mini bar is its own bar now. And that is now powered by Bourbon Women, which...
I thought you were about to say, like, solar power or something.
It's wind.
Well, in these festivals, they'll say something is activated by or powered by. It's like a whole different language. And so when I first started getting in the festival business, I didn't... All these words were very foreign to me. Now I'm using them, so it's kind of weird. But, yeah, so Bourbon Women, who... You know, I wrote the book Whiskey Women. It's a very important organization to me. And so they are the kind of like powering it, volunteering it, whatever you want to say. And so it's Fred Minnick's Mini Bar presented by Bourbon Women. But in there, I selected five craft Kentucky bourbons that I feel are doing it right. And, you know, and at the same time, they have very different stories. Hartfield and McCoy out of Paris, Kentucky. I selected that guy in part because I have never seen a distiller go through more than he has just to get a damn name. You know, the moment that he came out of the gate, he got lawyer letters, and then he changed his name to Gentleman Company, and he got lawyer letters, and then he changed it to this, and he's finally settled on the name Hartfield and McCoy. And you know, so I like supporting that guy. I like him a lot. And M.B. Rowland, Paul Tomaszewski, is a great friend of mine. He's a fellow Iraq veteran. And he will, anytime that I have the opportunity to bring him in the fold on something, I will always do that because I feel like what he's doing with using local white corn and then also smoking it for his Dark Fire brand, I feel like what he's doing is the kind of things I want to see craft distillers doing. He goes into the barrel at a very low entry proof, like 103 to 107. So very, very excited about him being in there. Old Pogue, which is a historical distilling family, you know, they were sourcing for a long time. Now they've got their own stuff on the market. So they're in there really because, you know, they've earned it just on their name. You know, they used to, their name was as synonymous as Beam back in the day. They were a very, very strong family. But they ended up getting in trouble during Prohibition, worked with George Remus a little bit, and the Pogues kind of fell out of fashion until, you know, Paul and his family, you know, brought it back. Yeah, so that's those three, right?
I believe four. So. No, four.
Four. Okay, so the other one is Wadeland Ranch. Wadeland Ranch, this guy is an actual... He comes from moonshine blood, you know, like all these guys who say they're moonshiners.
I was going to say, it's not another, like, I found my grandpappy's formula.
This guy's got pictures of himself, like, knee-high next to his grandpa still out in the middle of nowhere, and he's like a real, he's like, I'm an eighth generation distiller. First one legal, you know. And, you know, and his whiskey, you could tell he's not a new distiller. You know, he's got some qualities to it. But he's putting it out young. It's in like a grenade bottle, but he's got a lot of quality into what he's doing. And you can taste the grains and so forth. I have found that his single barrels, you know, are inconsistent, but that's the game of single barrels. And he's somebody I really just like as a person, and I see good things coming from him in his moonshining days.
I mean, that's real cool.
Yeah, because it's gotta be a great opportunity for these guys, you know, to showcase their products and brands.
Yeah, and it's one of those too. My mini bar is one where that's kind of like a reward. You know, I'm asking you to be a part of it. You know, nothing's being asked of you.
Do we get to be a part of it, or we just got to work the entire time?
Yeah, you get to work. You get to work. That's what
you're
get to do.
You're doing the seminars, man.
Yeah, no, I know.
Doing
that's not work. That's fun.
Yeah. Someone's got to
do. We have check-in times like each night. You got to go to bed at like 10.
No. Well, you know,
he'll text you.
You could go in the artist camp area and, you know, hang out with him a little bit if you want to do it. See if we can do an artist tasting or something.
Oh, cool.
Can't turn that down.
No,
absolutely. It's hard to get these guys, you know, committed beforehand. A lot of them will be, but then you get back there and they just show up and like, oh, you're the bourbon guy. Oh, let's do this. And like, that's how most of my tastings have happened with a lot of these musicians is that like and it'd always be like the bassist or the drummer. The vocalists very rarely will want to taste anything before they play, you know, because they've...
It's whiskey. Let's be real. Yeah.
I mean, that could have some effect on your vocal cords.
My throat's already hurting.
But
what was the? Give us a cool story from backstage last year. No, putting onions on the spot, but
honestly, I was so much on stage at this one. And then all my other things I was doing stuff. It wasn't until the next weekend when I was working at Louder Than Life, which was the heavy metal concert, that I had some really cool experiences. The bassist Chris of Five Finger Death Punch, Chris Kale, and I, we did a tasting. And then the next like week or two or three weeks after, he came out sober and he doesn't drink anymore. So
I haven't
asked him, but I really hope that it wasn't. Oh no! I know I have one. I have one from backstage of Bourbon and Beyond. Yeah. So I did a tasting with ZZ Ward.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, wasn't there a girl that had like the knee high like leather boots or something like that? I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. I did a tasting with her, and she was very very much a whiskey fan. Very much a whiskey fan. And then she blamed me like the next day, like, you're the one who got me on all that bourbon or something like that. It was funny, but she was fine. But apparently the next day, I mean, I just do a tasting. What do you do after that? You know, no responsibility.
Tasting of 10 ounces, something like that.
But no, it was a lot of fun. She was cool. And just hanging out, getting to hang out with her and you know, Sean James, last year I did a tasting with Sean James, and that guy has the deepest, one of the coolest voices I'd ever heard. And then you talk to him, and he just sounds like a normal guy. You expect these like brilliant musicians to just have like a different voice, but really they're just talking like us. They're artists, you know. It's it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's kind of like when we talk.
Yeah, I think so. We put a microphone in front of us, and we're like, "Oh my gosh,
wow!
These guys sound amazing."
No, not me. That's why I'm on the chopping block.
we gotta drop that now. So the other thing is, I remember last year.
Why are you so dismissive of his feelings?
Everybody's like, "Oh, he's always." It seems like he's too worried about it. I was like, "No, confidence. You'll be fine. You're not going anywhere, Ryan."
I'm just messing with you.
Not yet. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know what's going on here. I got to learn your rapport.
It's okay. So last year I was there, and I remember there was like a vintage bar. Now, was there anything that's going to be sort of people can experience something that's vintage whiskey too?
Yeah, Silver Dollar is manning the Hunter's Club. And yeah, there will be some vintage whiskeys there. Pappy, Kentucky Owl, the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection, you know, that sort of thing will definitely be there. But, you know, the goal, I'm trying to get like a bottle from every like decade. And yeah, that can be difficult. But with the new vintage law, I think we will be able to pull it off. But
did you see that as a big attractor last year? I mean, were a lot of people interested in it? Like,
and
I know there's definitely geeks that'll go in there.
Yeah.
And there's some geeks that'll be like, I'm not paying that. But are there people that are like, well,
actually,
that's
I would say geeks are the hardest people to sell because we know everything, you know, and we're like, oh, you're an idiot for charging that. And you end up buying Heaven Hill Green Label for like $3. And you're like looking at everybody like, I got you. you know, so geeks are not necessarily the people that are always going to buy that. But there's a lot of people who've never had Pappy. And, you know,
they want to try it.
And that stuff does sell. Mm-hmm. And I have seen that stuff sell for price points that just seem ridiculous, but yeah, people want to try it. Now, I don't know if the vintage stuff will sell as much. My hope is it would. I think a lot of it would depend on the weather. A lot of it will depend on like how, you know, the bar staff is able to discuss it, you know, to tell the story, and also like what people know about what it is. You know, if there's an old Dowling in there and you happen to know the story of the Dowling family moving their distillery to Juarez, Mexico to make Mexican bourbon, you might be pretty intrigued to taste that. You know, it might be one of those like, oh, I know the story behind this. And but I think in general that's another one of those spots where it has air conditioning, and depending on the weather, you know, it could be packed. It could be kind of like free flowing. I mean, who knows?
Absolutely. So I guess, are there any other bourbons that you're excited about to be able to showcase this year, other than Fred's Mini Bar, that maybe didn't get as much recognition last year or weren't there last year, that are going to be able to kind of be highlighted?
Yeah, I as you all know, I'm a rum fan. I'm a big rum fan. You know that.
You wrote a book about it at one point, right?
I wrote a book about it.
I mean, it's...
So it's going to be Rum and Beyond?
Bourbon and Rum and Beyond.
I've been working on one. I don't think I'm going to win, but not this festival. But what...
It'll be in Jamaica somewhere.
Would you guys mind coming
Barbados?
Down?
Barbados? No, I'll moderate.
Yeah, nice. We can do that.
I need some moderate. You got to learn rum, though.
Yeah. I'll take the four square.
Give me a weekend. I'll crash course.
Yeah. Just give me your book.
So Jim Beam is doing something that I find fascinating. They're doing the Tiki Bar, and they're doing, you know, like Jim Beam cocktails and that. And I think that's just ballsy. You know, getting into rums like space that is quintessential rum. And as rum has been pecking at the door on bourbon consumers, you know, bourbon's coming right back at you with a right hook and saying, oh, yeah, you want to take some of ours? We'll take some of yours, you know. And I know that's not how it's going down, but in my mind, that's how everything's working. Everyone's fighting, you know, for a consumer. And if that active – and bourbon tiki has been growing. It's been very successful. You know who one of the, you know, the pioneers behind the modern movement was? Danny Wimmer. He's been pushing bourbon tiki at his festivals for 10 years, and so he's got
and Larry Rice had bourbon tiki at his El Camino restaurant, which that was the first time I ever had it.
I mean,
explain bourbon tiki, because I'm not even sure if I understand and grasp it correctly, and I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there that don't either.
Do you Do we need to tell him? Do we want to tell him, or do you want to keep this kind of like our thing
underground?
It's just us. Yeah, we can share together.
All right. So tiki is a culture. It's created by at Trader Vic's. It's the Mai Tai. It's the zombie. It's all these like crazy cocktails with rum. It'll be like orgeat syrups. There's just a lot of stuff, but. Basically,
is Goombay Smash considered tiki?
Smash is normally or not. Maybe. But this is where we see the umbrella. We see the big piece of pineapple coming out. They're in those glasses that have mm-hmm. faces on them. That's tiki, and there's a culture behind it.
Is there going to be like a sand? Like the floor's going to be made out of sand too? Hopefully, right?
Actually,
and you got to wear a lei.
Actually, they're going to have like. I can't remember the rendering, but they are going to have like a little area. And another one that really excites me is Larceny's pizza parlor. They're doing like a pairing, and if you know a secret word, you get something special. And I don't even know what that word is, but I'm sure I'll find it eventually.
I'm sure you will.
But yeah, there's a lot of little like underground little secrets this year. That I feel like could be really cool.
Pizza you spend and bourbon. That's a first for me. Well, they don't seem like they go together.
It's that spicy pie I was telling you about, and they've been working together to like pair a bourbon. So, and cool. I think Larceny actually pairs pretty well with most things.
Well, next year we'll have to get ahead of it, and we're going to have our own Pursuit speakeasy, right? And you got to know the password to get in there.
We got to
get some more. We got some dollars to be able to put towards the funding for it. So
I'll come up with a secret word.
Wait, is it? I'm from Bardstown.
Yeah, I'm from Bardstown. Knock knock. Two knocks.
Wow, that's so clever.
I know.
So before we wrap this up, I want to make sure that we properly give the day and time. So make sure you start making your plans. It's for the weekend of September 22nd and 23rd in Louisville, Kentucky at Champions Park.
Yeah, Champions Park. It's basically Zorn Avenue and River Road, not too far from the VA hospital.
Yeah, it's actually a great location.
Yeah.
Even easier if you want to just have an Uber drop off, and it's super easy to make it happen.
Yeah, close to downtown, close to where we live, so it's
Crescent
it's
Hill,
ideal for me.
Everywhere, St. Matthews. Oh yeah,
yeah, and the river's right there. So if you have a pontoon boat, just gonna
slip pull up, yeah. And hear a free concert,
yeah,
or come in,
yeah, or come in. I don't think you could really enjoy the music from the river.
Yeah, it's not like the waterfront where.
Yeah, no, the waterfront you could. Not this one. You actually could hear it better if you were like at that gas station.
I know I can hear it from my house in St. Matthews because I heard it last year and I was like, when's this going to end? I can't sleep. It was the Louder in Life one. They're loud.
Well, that's that whole Louder.
Yeah, exactly.
It's part of the branding. But yeah, well, you know what? That festival brings in a lot of revenue for this
city. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So make sure, get ready for it because we're actually going to have a giveaway on Bourbon Pursuit as well for a pair of tickets to go and be at Bourbon Beyond. So we're going to have that out available relatively soon. So make sure you pay attention to all the new episodes as well as social media because that's probably where it's going to post it. So Fred, Ryan, Bourbon Pursuit team, I think we can wrap it up. I think it was a good episode, right? Yeah, there you go. Hands in the middle.
All in.
Break. Bourbon on three. So awesome, guys. Make sure if you have any other or if you like what you hear, make sure you support us on Patreon, patreon.com/bourbonpursuit.
We got to pay Fred now, so.
So we've got to have it start rolling in, right? Now it's, but it really does help go support the show of everything that we're doing.
Quick word on the whiskey that we're tasting?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I don't know what it is, but I guzzled mine. It was good.
So this was, this is Old Jordan from the early 1900s.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
This was considered to be the best, one of the best whiskeys of that time.
Well, it still is.
Yeah, it kept very, very nicely.
Where'd you find that?
Actually, Brad Bonds, Ed Bly's partner at Cork and Bottle, mm-hmm. found this and he gave me a sample.
Very nice.
Oh, that's real cool.
Yep.
So you can smell it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nose for days.
That smells good. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We're trying to sign off here.
We'll get this repertoire down soon enough, right?
Yeah, we'll find our flow. We're still new. It's like tiptoeing. First dates.
We'll get there.
Well, your first date.
Yeah.
So if you do like it, make sure you support us on Patreon, patreon.com/bourbonpursuit. As I'd mentioned, we've got barrel picks, koozies, stickers, t-shirts, and more, and a lot of other cool things that are coming to still be announced. So make sure you are paying attention there. Ryan, go ahead and by the way, iTunes reviews. Don't forget iTunes reviews.
Yeah, they help us get found easier on iTunes. So please, if you like what you hear, please review it, because it helps us get found by other whiskey enthusiasts. So please keep those. And any feedback, suggestions, we love hearing from our listeners, because quite honestly, you all give us some of the best ideas. So, Fred, what you're going to sign off going to be?
we never really talked about this, did we?
Yeah, I guess so. I have to say something in regards to the podcast.
I don't know.
See you next time.
We can figure this out. Yeah, I can say just see you next time.
No,
email us at team@bourbonpursuit.com. I don't know what it is yet.
It says it in the language on iTunes, and it's in the emails and everything. But drink responsibly.